This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of Get That Course Online. Over the next hour or so, we'll discuss what we've been up to in our businesses, top-of-mind topics relevant to trainers, a cool tool to use online, and an event to consider. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest, and we'll also cover listener letters, specific issues sent to us by you. You can contact us through Twitter on @TrainerTalkPod, or feel free to email either Sharon or me if you've got a challenge you'd like us to cover. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk, the podcast. We are on episode 20. We are now officially equaling my last podcast run, Sharon, of the number of podcasts that I got to before I thought, oh, this is too much like hard work. I'm pleased to say that's not going to happen this time around. But hey, how are you doing? How was your week?
Yes, it's been pretty good, actually. Sort of, really good. Lots of things going on. So not least of which was the LinkedIn challenge.
Yes.
We're sort of officially finished, but still we're going to keep the group open until the end of February to give people a chance to catch up and things. But yeah, it was really good. It was lovely to see people in the group actually posting their profiles and making changes and getting excited by all the little bits of nuggets that we were putting in there every day. So so you did the other LinkedIn challenge as well.
I did.
So how have the two compared?
Put me on the spot, why don't you? So I would say that personally, I have been equally as rubbish at both challenges in that I've only had the opportunity to, No, it's true, actually, because a lot of the calls were at times that I just couldn't make for various reasons. However, what I would say is I agree with you in that something that you said about the challenge this time around, your challenge with Paul, Paul Cutcut, was you were saying that the calls were where there was most benefit, and I have to agree with that, definitely. So even though I wasn't able to, I think I made one out of all the calls that you had, I'm hoping to make the catch up as well. Is that tonight?
No, it's tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say, I had it in my head that it was Tuesday, and then I suddenly thought, no, it was the 4th, and that's today, because, of course, we're recording this on Monday. But anyway, there's just so much going on at the moment. It's ridiculous. And Mondays are always crazy for me anyway. But I was only able to make one of the calls, but that is where you get sort of a real opportunity to get some momentum going in the best traditions of these sort of online meetings and that kind of thing, where people really spark ideas off of each other and get answers to their specific questions. And I think what really helped actually was having you there able to monitor the chat to catch any questions whilst Paul was able to concentrate and talking what he was talking about. Yes. But it felt a lot more specific actually in terms of the tips to use, whereas the other one, and of course, you know, I'm kind of, it's not really comparing apples with apples, because having done one challenge, you're kind of clouded by what you know with that challenge when you go into the second challenge, so sometimes it becomes a bit more familiar, doesn't it? But I would say certainly that having it spread out with different emails every day and just repeating those emails in the group, I thought worked really well, because I would sort of read the email and just go, oh yeah, I'll come back to that later, and then I'd see it as a notification in the group as well and be able to read it again and go, yeah, I do need to take notes of that, or no, I don't need to worry about that, I've already done it. Which was great. But again, I think it was a really good opportunity for people to just experiment and try different things with their profile and pick up all sorts of tips, you know, one of which, you know, I have used. We've already had a chat before we came on air about one of the tips that was very helpful for me, just to do a little bit of digging on LinkedIn, which was great. So so I think that all in all, if I can get myself in gear, I will be able to catch up on the videos and the calls and, yeah. and that kind of thing and pick up all the rest of the stuff. I know there's still a load of stuff that I need to do on LinkedIn. It's just, it's coincided with a particularly busy time for me as well.
Yeah, this is the thing. I don't think there's ever any sort of perfect time to kind of run a challenge.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
It was great to see, you know, lots of people taking action. And in fact, actually, just thinking about it, was probably the theme of this week for me was people taking action, because had lots of people in the LinkedIn challenge. Two mentoring clients this week, one of which, I'm sure they won't mind me saying who they were. So yeah. Let's name them, not shame them, let's praise them. So Angela Mitchell.
Yeah.
Amazing. So one of the things she'd been procrastinating about was getting her newsletter out. Mm-hmm. And you know, and so we talked about it and et cetera, and sort of tried to make it doable for her. And lo and behold, by Thursday, there it was out there.
So, excellent. Yeah, I saw she put a post out about it, didn't she? Yeah.
It makes me feel brilliant when you see people just sort of, you know,
doing something
and running with it. And
me too.
With Inga Wooster, that's another. I mean, she has made such amazing strides in the last 6 months. I mean, you've seen all her various posts in the group about, you know, the speaking opportunities she's created and the, you know, the events that she's got set up throughout the year and all the stuff she's doing on LinkedIn. And it's just, it's tremendous. It just makes it all worthwhile when you see that. So, and then the third thing people have been taking action on was the online program that ran from the end of October through to the beginning of December. Mm-hmm. So I've been following up with people who did that program and talking with them about what they've done in terms of, you know, their actions. What have they done? Did they just, you know, nod their head and go, yeah, that was a great course, but never did anything? Now, I'm pleased to report that most people have actually made some significant changes. So again, that's been amazing.
Fabulous.
Makes it all worthwhile. And so, and I am actually starting another one. So there'll be another one starting on the 13th of March, which I was umming and ahhing about this, actually, because it's a 6-week program and it's the usual about when to run it, when is the good time, because I'll probably run two this year. So there needs to be one kind of now and one, you know, to later in the year. And with Easter kind of being late and everything, it's
yeah, quite... Easter is really annoying this year.
Yeah, and then I just thought, do you know what? I thought, oh no, and I was umming and ahhing. And then I thought, actually, if I start it in the middle of March, I can actually finish it by Easter. And I thought, on the theme of last week, you know, when we were talking about just do it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? I'm just going to do it. That's it. 13th of March. Done. You know, done is perfect and all that business.
Oh, yes.
So that was on the business side, really. And then just on the other sort of personal sort of self-care side. So the meditation side continues.
Indeed. Yes, we need our update because, you know, after the setback last week, not failure, setback last week, did you go this week? You intended to?
I did go.
Yay!
So that was very good because it was another very, very cold evening and it would have been so tempting to just say, I'm not bothered with this. Mm-hmm. So on the plus side, it was really good because I went and I relaxed. And, you know, could feel myself going with the flow more on the rest of it. So much so that I actually fell asleep in meditations. And then I got told off.
No, for falling asleep.
Yes.
Oops. Well, hang on.
I know. So I was, you know, we had to do rounds of, you know, what did you get out of it and all the rest of it. And I was all like really happy because I thought, oh, I've done much better this time. I still could feel myself going. You know, when you kind of jump when you're about and you go like that and then you wake up and then you go, oh, and then you fall asleep again. So, you know, it was good. And actually, the third one was actually 25 minutes where... Wow. The first week that I was going, a 10-minute meditation was just like, it got to me. I was like, God, is this going to stop, you know?
I remember, yeah.
So I was very proud of myself. And so then, you know, then this lady said to me, because, you know, she's very good at it and she's been going a long time and everything. And I was all happy to myself. And she looked at me, she said, well, you're not supposed to fall in this. You're not supposed to fall asleep. And falling asleep is not meditation.
Oh. Well, okay, Miss Perfect, but, you know, at the same time, you've got to have a chance to get used to it, haven't you?
This is true. This is true. That was, yes.
So honestly.
Another step back.
Dear, so, oh dear.
We will see what happens. But yes, that was good. I went to a lovely event on Saturday. So my good friend Jane Brooke was having a little, what she called a swish. So a swish is basically people bringing all their old clothes and like swapping stuff. So
okay.
Right, it was brilliant. So I went with no expectations at all and came home with four new things.
Nice.
Which was really nice. And said Jane also figured largely in the week because I had coffee with her during the week as well. So that was great. And I finally had my nails done.
Hey. So, oh, there we are. Very nice. Very nice. I bought some new nail polish last week as well, which I'm sure will make its debut at Trainer Talk Live at the end of the month. Beginning of March.
Yeah, so pretty good week all in all.
Good, excellent. Yeah, I mean, we'll come on to the overriding theme, if you like, of my week in top of mind. But outside of that, it was pretty good from the point of view of I held another webinar last week and talked to a few people and chivvied a few people along who were umming and ahhing about principally becoming mentoring clients, actually. So that's moving along quite nicely. So I know one of the things that I'm going to be asked about at the Ambassador Day at the end of the month is my business targets. So I'm moving towards them, honestly, boss. So that's good. Other things, I'd be continuing the strength training. Had a really good session yesterday. We did a technical session yesterday. This is obviously outside of work stuff, all learning about kettlebell, deadlift and swings and proper correct technique for it.
We know all the technical
tricks. Yeah, absolutely. doing all that, and then something called the Turkish get-up, which you watch somebody doing it and you think, yeah, all right, fine, that doesn't look like much, and then you actually have to try and do it, and it's like, oh my god, you know, I have never got up from the floor before in my life, clearly, because this is so difficult. And it's a great technique and a tool to learn, and of course it's the sort of thing that you can do if you're away, staying overnight in a hotel that doesn't have a gym or something like that, and that kind of thing. You can do it in your hotel room as a start of a workout and that kind of thing. So that was really good, but oh my, do my hamstrings ache today. And after we finish recording this, I'm going off to my normal strength session, and we were all saying to the instructor yesterday who took the session, it's not going to be a heavy day tomorrow, is it? Because we do a heavy day, a medium day and a light day every week, and normally Monday is the heavy day, and he's like, no, after today I know how your legs are going to be feeling, it's a light day tomorrow. So I am so grateful for that. Because I've also had to do a lot of walking today to drop my car off at the garage because it's gone wrong again. This is, you know, twice so far this year, so my car has cost me quite a bit of money, which, you know, never rains till it pours, right? Yes, so that happened last week, and what else? Oh, various other bits and pieces which we will also come on to, not least caused by the snow that we will talk about in the dog walking digest. But to move on sort of, you know, from my week into the top of mind topic, if I may, because this is what we're going to be talking about. Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of loosely entitled Rude People, but I should explain really what I mean.
I mean what?
So yeah, you know, okay, so when you are a freelancer, as we all are, obviously you get used to the fact that sometimes people are perhaps just not going to be as concerned with politeness or gratitude or thinking of your feelings as much as they might. And so every now and again, you'll get somebody who doesn't say please or thank you, or who expects to get something for nothing, or doesn't realise that what they're just, in inverted commas, asking you to do is actually quite a lot of work, and is, you know, an unfair ask. And normally these people come along once in a while, and I personally deal with it by saying, okay, perhaps they're having a bad day, it's fine, don't worry, just let it wash over, doesn't matter, kind of thing. But for whatever reason, the stars aligned last week that they all came out of the woodwork and were trying to communicate with me, or not communicate with me, as it happens, last week. And, you know, without getting into too much detail, and I don't believe that anybody will be able to identify anybody that I'm talking about, and it's nobody in the Train to Talk community, I have to say, just to reassure everybody. yeah, you're all fine. It's external sort of contacts. So one was somebody that I used to work with, who got in touch, I mean, in a corporate role, used to work with, so more than 5 years ago now. Got in touch to say, really liking the look of the videos and things that you've been putting out on LinkedIn. It all looks so professional. I'm looking at developing some videos for what I'm doing and also some online training with a new business adventure, blah, blah, blah. Wondered if there might be some way that you could help me. Or something along those lines. So I crafted a response saying, hey, brilliant to hear from you. Thank you so much. You know, very kind of you to say, here are the different ways that, or the different programs that I have. Actually, I think you're probably better off doing this thing with me. Sounds like more what you need, etc., etc. So I took, you know, a good 15 minutes crafting this message back to make sure that I had all the relevant details in there, and what have you. Now, you know, yes, in hindsight, there were other ways of dealing with that request, but that's what I chose to do. To get a response back that was, oh yeah, no, I'm not really there yet. Just kind of wondered what camera you were using and, you know, what microphone I need to get. So I'm like, right, okay, fine. I obviously misread that initial request when you told me that you wanted to do videos and learn how to do online courses. That's fine. So I use this camera, use this microphone. This is what you need to think about. And, you know, I don't do these things with the anticipation of getting something back from somebody going, oh, wonderful, thank you so much, you're the most helpful person in the universe. I do have an expectation that somebody will at least come back and go, oh, great, thanks very much. Yes. Nothing. Not a dicky bird. Not even an acknowledgement that I had gone back and answered the secondary question, which was, you know, effectively, what can you tell me for free? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to tell you anything for free, except for, of course, I'll answer the question about what video camera I use and that kind of thing. And it was just one of those kind of, hang on a minute, you know, Did I miss that you were basically saying to me, what can you tell me, and how can I get from you all your knowledge for free? So I'm like, oh, right, fine. It's a rude person. I shall brush it off. Won't worry about it. But the second kind of thing that went into last week was that I did another webinar, as I said last week in the podcast, and it was one that was centered a little bit more around the selling aspect of online courses. It wasn't how to sell your course, but it was about how to make sure it will sell when the time comes. Because there's a particular technique and a way of constructing your online course that I teach that means it builds up those sales and marketing collateral assets for you as you go along. So it's not a huge project at the end of creating your course. And I'm really quite pleased with that, but I have deliberately shied away from doing too much marketing myself around the sales aspect, because that tends to attract a lot of people that are what I would call money for nothing types. So the sort of people that look at online courses, read only the positive stories or the fake news, frankly, stories from people going, oh, I made £1 million overnight with online courses, you can do the same. And, you know, I thought, oh, well, maybe I need to test this limiting belief that I have that I shouldn't talk about sales because those are the sorts of people I attract. Okay. So, went ahead, did the webinar, got some really excellent positive comments back from people that had registered and also people who came along live, and it was great. And I'm thinking, okay, so broken that limiting belief, this is good. And then within 24 hours, I had two separate messages from people, one saying on an email to me, oh yeah, missed the webinar, can I get the replay, thanks? And I'm like, right, okay. Yeah, sure, because yeah. I'm here just to give you free information. And then somebody else, so what happened was a contact of mine wrote something along the lines of, I'm so sorry I've missed this, is there any chance that I can get a copy of it? Or no, in fact they didn't even say that, they said, I'm so sorry I missed it, you know, when's the next one? And I'm like, it's fine, don't worry, I'm first connection with this person on LinkedIn, just send me an email and I'll send you a replay link, don't worry. And then next thing I know, I'm getting an email from somebody I'd never heard of saying, yeah, I'd like your webinar link as well, thanks. And I'm like, right, okay, sorry, who are you? So yeah. I did a bit of browsing, and this is the tip that Paul Cotcut gave about getting this Chrome plugin that gives you an incognito browse function for LinkedIn. Nice work. Great tip. So I had a little look at this person, and we're a second connection, and they know this other person that I'd responded to. But I thought, hang on, you're not a freelance trainer by the looks of things, you're a marketing person. So, you know, I would quite like to know a little bit more about you before I give you my free content. So I sent an email back just saying, oh, you know, doesn't look like we're connected on LinkedIn. You know, just wanted to understand where you're at with online course creation so I can make sure I'm not wasting anybody's time. Thanks very much. And didn't really expect to hear anything back. And then got an email back basically saying, oh, yeah, I know this other person. They wrote that other person's name in the email but spelt it wrong. Tried to tell me that this other person was a client of theirs. And I'm thinking, really? They're a client of yours but you spelt their name wrong? Okay. I have clients that I always like to increase my knowledge with so that I can help them out. And I'm like, hang on. So you're basically saying to me that because I know somebody that you know and they're a client of yours and you've got other clients, I should give you my free content so you can pass it off as your own. It's like, that's not going to happen. It was just, I cannot believe the audacity of some people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I get that. Some people just don't twig, especially if they're not freelance themselves. They don't twig sometimes that, you know, basically time is money for us.
Yeah.
However, this person was also a freelancer. They were also trying to get clients. They're also trying to talk to people and get people to know, like, and trust them. So you're essentially saying that you're going to take my knowledge and pass it off as your own to get your own clients. And it's like, no, that's not happening. And off the back of the BBC article last week as well on their website about the number of freelancers being asked to do work for free, or in inverted commas, for exposure, which is my favourite. Oh, well, you know, it'll give you good exposure. Brilliant. I'll pay my mortgage with that exposure, shall I?
Yeah.
Just, you know, it was this kind of perfect storm of people just being really quite rude about, you know, not valuing my knowledge. And I said in my email newsletter, I get that I need to give away a certain amount for free to help people understand that I do know what I'm talking about. I understand that, and having somebody every once in a while be a little bit rude or not say please or not say thank you is fine. But when it's person after person after person, you just think, hang on, have I got mug written on my forehead this week or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was that. I'm sure you've had that though, Sharon. You must have done.
More times than I mean, there are some, just sort of listening to you there are a few important points there, really. I mean, there's the whole issue about being expected, this expectation that you have to do things for free, and there's one there. There's something else there about when instances like that all come along at once. How does it affect us, and how can we protect ourselves from from it affecting us. That's point number two. And then there's something there about relationships in business and the impressions that people very quickly get of other people. Mm. You know, and the importance of that, really. So let's just start with number one, you know, which was about the expectation of people to, you know, doing things for free. And as I said to you in the poem, when you put the trainer talk, that I have never understood the mentality of freebie seekers, as you say, particularly from other freelancers and particularly from other trainers, because if, let's say, a training company that they were working for as an associate rang them up and said, God, it's a great job for you, and we'd like you to, you know, design and deliver this program and turn up next week and run it for 2 days, but by the way, we want you to do it for free.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody would think that that was a good thing, and everybody would be saying, how dare they, you know, the rest of it, and quite rightly so. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why they can't appreciate that they wouldn't do it, so why do they expect other people to do it? I don't understand it, but really, it's I've never got it, do you?
No, and I sort of understand where it comes from, just from the point of view of the way I try and this moves on to the coping thing, actually, how do you cope with it? I try and flip it, I try and reframe it. When it's just one person at a time, it's like either they're having a bad day, or I'm making what I do look so easy, they don't understand actually the amount of work that's gone into getting the level of experience that I've got in order to make it look this easy. So in a way, that's a compliment, right? And it can help one at a time to reframe it that way. But I do think that there is also this expectation that people seem to think, well, if I ask the question, you know, well, they'll tell me the answer. And that's as far as the thinking goes. There's no onward kind of thought about, all right, but how did that person know the answer, and could I go and find that information myself? And I've always been, and we've talked about before, I've always been quite independent in terms of finding out what I need to know, and you know, thank goodness for the internet, and I'm so happy that the internet gods didn't listen to me when I very first came across the internet and was shown it and thought, well, what am I going to use that for? But this was a couple of decades ago, I hasten to add, more than that, actually, about 25 years ago. But anyway, so it's kind of, I want to go off and sort of try and find out information, try and find stuff out myself. But I do try, and I hope that nobody comes out of the woodwork and says, actually, Jeanette, you've done this to me. Although if they have, I would want them to, because I'd want to know if I'd ever done this. I think carefully about when I am asking for somebody else's advice, I phrase it in such a way as to say, you know, do I need to pay somebody to do this? Do I need to find out more that way? Or is it a simple ask? Is there a simple answer to this question? Because sometimes there is a simple answer to this question. So to go back to my first example, if this contact that I used to work with had said to me, can you just tell me what webcam you use and what microphone you use? Simple. Yeah. But that whole preamble of, oh, your videos are so good and it's also amazing, and can you tell me how to do online courses? Well, yeah, I can. Here's my price list. Yeah. Oh, no, I don't want to pay you. Yeah. Well, hang on.
I mean, I've had to sort of grapple with this over the years so much. And I think as well, part of the problem as well is, I mean, we talked quite a lot on this podcast about, you know, personality types. And, you know, you and I both are the personality type, you know, we want to help people. I mean, my whole business is set up
exactly
around helping people. It comes from a place of helping.
Yes.
The trainer talk community comes from a place of helping.
Well, we like action takers, right? We want to help people get the knowledge so that they can take action. Brilliant.
So you grapple all the time with, you know, when I grapple all the time with, when, you know, I get a lot of people reaching out to me on LinkedIn, or they send me an email with a whole potted history of who they are and what they do and what they want to do with their business. And then they go, can you give me some advice, or can you help me? Now, I grapple with that an awful lot. What I used to do, certainly in the early days of my business, I go, oh, just book a call in and just talk to me. before I knew it, I was talking to these people for like an hour, 2 hours, basically giving them free coaching sessions, which really they should have been paying for.
Yeah.
And then obviously, because I'd given them so much at the end of the hour that they had no need to sign up for a paid session because I told them everything, you know? So and so I kind of grapple with this all the time. And because, you know, you kind of feel that you just sort of say, no, go away, I can't help you. You're being a helpful person, which doesn't sit well with me and my body. So the way to get around it now, when I do get those messages, is I basically just say, here's a link to my website. There's loads of resources on there. Some of them free, some of them not. Choose what you want. Come back to me if you've got any questions. And then that case, it might be the case of people trawling through. There's just tons of information on there, tons, especially under the blog section. And if they're then coming to me with just a very, as you say, very quick question, the equivalent of your camera question, more than happy to answer that.
Absolutely.
If I spent my whole day, you know, doing free mentoring sessions for people, I just wouldn't get anything else done. And it's
true.
You know, so it's a difficult one, but you have to find some way of, you have to find some system that's going to provide a win-win for everybody, I think.
Definitely. And
I think
you're absolutely right. There has to be a balance. There has to be this sort of compromise between, because sometimes people will tell you something and you'll think, yeah, I can kind of tell you the answer to that in 5 minutes flat. But the way I know what the answer to that is takes a lot of learning, actually, and I'm not sure I'm willing to give that amount of knowledge away for free, unless we're having a serious conversation. And, you know, about the possibility of somebody becoming a mentoring client or a bootcamp client or whatever it might be. So two things out of what you just said. One was I now specifically say to people, oh, book a 15-minute focus session.
Yeah.
Because I'm happy to give away 15 minutes. Truth be told, it's often closer to half an hour. But because I've already called it 15 minutes... Everybody that I've spoken to so far, when it gets to about 25 minutes, they've gone, oh my God, I've taken up more of your 15 minutes. I'm so sorry. And actually, it's like, no, that's fine. I don't mind that because you're not trying to get everything out of it. The second thing is I know for sure that there's a whole load of blogs on your website because I, for other reasons, had to go through and look at some of them. There's more than 300 on there, listeners. I guarantee whatever question you've got about your freelance training business, Sharon has got an answer for it in one of her blogs somewhere. There, I can't believe that you're still able to turn out more blogs, to be honest, because there's so much great information on there. But yeah, I think that's a really good answer to that is please go and look at my website. There's so much information on there, and you know, let me know if you want to take it any further, or if you want to have a mentoring program or something like that. But we do have to find the balance that is right for us. And as I say, in the main, I am able to find that balance with just the odd person every now and again pushing their luck a little bit.
Yeah.
But when it's so many happening at once, which was the second point that you mentioned, it then becomes a bit of, hang on, I'm feeling a bit got at here. And my coping mechanism for that, which I'm very grateful for, is the Trainer Talk community, because I knew it was a safe place for me to be able to go and put a post in there going, I'm a bit cheesed off, actually.
Your picture as well.
Because this has happened, and you know, and just the very act of typing that out actually was quite cathartic. And just kind of as soon as I typed it and pressed post, it's like, oh, I feel so much better now for having just, you know, told other people who I know will understand when I say, that's so annoying. And although how you would spell that first word, I don't know, but A-R-R-R-G-H. It's just so nice to have, or to know that there is that outlet available to be able to. And you and I both know I don't do that very often, and most of the time I am very positive, and bless our gorgeous Trainer Talk members for the number of people that have come back and gone, no, you're really positive, don't let them get you, like this. And it was great. It was lovely. And you know, gives you warm, fuzzy glow, which is fantastic. But that, I think, is a really useful way of being able to cope with these sorts of things when it does feel like, hang on, is it me? You know, like I said earlier, have I got the word mug written on my forehead this week or something?
So. I mean, it's so true. I mean, you know, about things all coming together, you know, and I will, you know, I will say quite publicly, I have felt the same just before Christmas. I had a bit of the various reasons, and it was all to do with these things coming along all together at once, and I just felt like, whoa!
Yeah.
It, you know, and I kind of, and what did I do? Yes, I was able to go into my lovely ambassadors group and go, oh my God!
And we all turned around and went, no, it's not happening. Stop worrying about it.
Wobbling around me, oh my God.
They're not worth your time. Go away from them. Ignore.
Yeah, exactly.
We're here and we love you.
You do need to have that. You know, you need to have some support mechanism.
Yes.
You know, no matter how well your business is doing, you are going to get days like that, or things that all come along at once.
Completely.
That's my way of dealing with them.
Completely. And it was just, you know, and to top it off then on Friday night, my car bust. So it was just, you know, it's all fixed now, but it's just one of those things where you think, right, okay, that's it, I've had enough of you that week. And then by contrast, today, I have to say, today has had several things happen that have gone, yeah, actually, today's all right, this week's going to be all right, which is fine. And other things as well that I could choose to look at in a different way, but no, I'm choosing to be positive this week. Last week was last week, this week is this week.
Exactly.
So the last thing that you wanted to bring up from my little monologue earlier was relationships in business.
Yeah. So the business relationships, so all those people who just sort of fired off emails to you, or, you know, I've had some, you know, as I've mentioned to you, some very rude emails from various people, mm-hmm. you know, over the years, and you kind of... yeah, it's all about, well, what impression do you now have of that person?
Yeah.
You know, it might be like a really great person, but do you want to do business with them? No, I don't think so. So it's really important to sort of, you know, to put yourself out there in a positive, you know, light, really. And,
definitely.
You know, probably leading up into the dog walking digest. And, you know, I always... when I'm out on my walk, and we've talked about this before, you know, I will always say hello to anybody and their dog, no matter whether I know them or not.
Yep, me too.
I always say hello and smile, and, you know, and it costs nothing to do that.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's the same kind of thing in business, isn't it? It's the equivalent. What's the business equivalent of saying hello and nodding and smiling to everybody you meet on the dog walk?
Well,
you know,
honestly, for me, it's saying please and thank you.
Exactly.
Even if you are being a bit cheeky and asking for something that you think, oh yeah, probably, let's see if I can get away with it, at least say please and thank you, because you know, I'll be very nice when I say no to you.
Exactly. It's just so important. You know, it costs nothing you know, to smile and say hello. It costs nothing to send an email back to even reply.
Acknowledge,
reply to emails, you know, so replying to emails, and, you know, all those sorts of things. They're only the little things, but they're really important, aren't they?
Yeah, it's so important. And I do wonder sometimes whether other people take as long thinking about their posts or their email messages or anything like that as I do. And I know that I can take overly long sometimes. I will absolutely happily admit that. But at the same time, I do despair of people that sort of, you know, just chuck something at other people and then get all huffy when they don't get their own way. And you just think, hang on, you know, have some respect for the other person, please. And when you're on the receiving end of somebody not respecting your knowledge or your time or what you're trying to achieve, and just assuming, in the case of, you know, that final person that I talked about, that it would be perfectly acceptable to ask for my content in order to pass it off as their own knowledge, is just, no, you're not going to be in business for very long if that's the way you think it is to go. And it's like, I feel sorry for your clients, frankly, if that's the way you're operating. But anyway, I think it's very important to just have a little think about as you say, the impression that you're giving to people.
Yeah. And the great thing, isn't it, now that we've got thank God for the emojis and stuff like that.
Yes.
We're even on Gmail now, which I love, because, you know, things can sometimes come across in a way that you didn't intend on email. Yeah. And you can always now look at it. I always look at it and think, it might feel, and then I just put a smiley face in.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's what she means. She's really happy with me. Or,
exactly.
And it's just so easy now. So there's no excuse for...
I have used single emoji emails.
Yeah.
To convey, pleasure with something. So, you know, off topic completely, but part of the hockey assessing that I do, we had a couple of umpires the weekend before get a really, really great report back from the teams that they were umpiring. And this is virtually unheard of for teams to actually go, actually, those umpires were brilliant. And especially these two, because they're on the development group and they're quite new to umpiring. One of them is only in his first season. He's had a bit of a tricky time of a couple of matches. And to get this email through and to be able to pass that on to them and go, look, you were really appreciated for what you did. And the email actually came from our chairman, and I just followed it up with just a really big, beaming, smiley face. And they sort of both came back to me separately going, thanks, Jeanette. It's great, isn't it? It's lovely, really lovely. But yeah, emojis are I think they're fantastic. I do have a friend that can't stand them, so and he only does one word texts and things like that, so if I'm feeling mischievous or I want to wind him up, then I'll send him some emojis on a text message, because I know what sort of response I'll get to that. But I've known him for like 15-20 years, so it's fine, I can get away with that. Anyway,
Brilliant invention.
Yes. So, shall we move on to the dog walking digest?
Yes indeed. Mm-hmm. So I was just thinking about dog walking this week because you had something of a winter wonderland, which was quite...
We had the white stuff.
And we didn't have a winter wonderland, which is even more unusual.
It is absolutely extraordinary that we get snow in Bournemouth, and I can tell you how unusual it is. When everybody had the snow last March, yes, we had it here as well. But that's only the second time ever I can remember seeing snow on the beach in Bournemouth. And I've lived here since 2001, yeah. Right? So almost 20 years now. And then to have the snow forecast and everybody's going, no, it won't snow here. It'll be sleet. It never snows in Bournemouth. Go 10 miles up the road to Ringwood. Then it'll snow there, but it won't snow here. And then wake up the next morning, it's like, oh, it did snow here then. All right. So then thinking, well, it must be dreadful in the rest of the country if we've got it down here. And then you didn't get any. It's just ridiculous. You normally get snowbound at the first hint of it.
It was absolutely brilliant. I was delighted because, you know, I just thought, I can't cope with it. You know, I don't want any more snow, thank you. Because remember last year, we not only had the big dump that we had in March, but we also... previous to that, so that was the second.
You did, you're part. Right, yeah. Yes.
And it was equally as bad then, so we do tend to get it when it snows, so I was really, really glad. So no, we didn't do any dog walking in the snow, but you did. How did Scamp, did he like
it? He loves it. He absolutely loves the snow, and even a really heavy frost, he gets very excited about that, and as do lots of dogs, I think. I don't know if it's something to do with the smells. I'm sure we've discussed this before about, you know, it seems to do something, and they get all excited. But yes, particularly with the snow, which was actually quite deep in some places over on the golf course. So he runs around a bit like a lunatic, and people come out with their sledges for the one day that it lasted that they could do sledging. Because, you know, we might have had the snow, but that doesn't mean it's going to hang around. And certainly even by the afternoon, it was like, yeah, that's that over for another year then. So it was great. And he started eating some of the light little snowball ice bits. Oh. So
sorbets.
I know. So I picked a few up and sort of threw them for him. And of course, they disperse on impact. So he's sniffing around trying to find where the snowball's gone. It's like, no, it's gone. We don't get this. Okay, fine. But he does enjoy it. And my only regret is that I got my phone out to do a bit of videoing of him. And I didn't realise how low my battery was. So it switched itself off because the battery was so low because I was trying to video. It's like, no, the snow's going to be gone by tomorrow. but never mind. Never mind.
I had another, just realised there was another thing to add to this section.
Yeah.
Did you see the Britain's top 100 dogs this week?
I did not, no. Was that on?
Oh, they do it every year, and I don't know how people apparently vote for their favourite dogs. And Jem Cocker Spaniels, they moved up. She moved up some places. Last year she was number 7.
Mm-hmm.
This year she was number 5, I believe.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes, and in fact, when you think about the cockapoo, I think was number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Springer Spaniel was number 4, and the Cocker Spaniel was number 5. So if you want to look at it, that's 3 out of 5 of the top places were spaniels.
Definitely.
Cool, everybody.
Okay, but what was number 2 and number 1?
Oh, well, number 1 was the Staffordshire.
Oh, really? A Staffy, yeah. Really?
Yeah, which I, yeah.
I'm surprised about that. Okay.
Yeah, which actually was about number 3 last year, I think. So okay. And number 2 was the Labrador, which was number 1 last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And other ones in the top 10, I think, were the Border Collie, obviously, the German Shepherd, the Mongrel.
Yay for scamps.
The Scare the Mongrel was number 10. And what else was in there? Those are the main ones, I think. The golden retriever wasn't in the top 10, I don't think. Anyway, but yeah, so but spaniels rule.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do have a soft spot for spaniels, I have to say. My mum's got a cockapoo who, oh god, he's so spaniel like. I mean, he's definitely more cocker than poo, that's for sure. Unbelievably needy and didn't come with a brain, so you know. Spaniel all over, it has to be said. Absolute sucker for attention, can't be bothered with other dogs, but another human, hello.
Oh, yes, that's
hello, I'm gorgeous, aren't I? Would you like to stroke me a little longer? So it's, you know.
That is definitely Gem all over.
Mm-hmm. It's spaniels all over, definitely. But yes, bonkers dogs, but love them. Excellent. All right. So the other thing you wanted to talk about on the Dog Walking Digest.
Well, I don't know what is happening, but, you know, I am literally...
Wildlife, how dare it?
I'm literally tripping over rabbits.
What's the opposite of Snow White? What's the antonym for Snow White? Because that sounds like you, right? Snow White just puts her arm out and all these birds come along and la 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 like this. Sharon's tripping over blooming rabbits and kicking foxes out the way and throwing things at squirrels. Is that right?
I've never known anything like it. Honestly, they're just all over the place. It's literally, you're just walking along and then another one, they shoots out of, you know, shoots out of a tree and runs across the path in front of you like, whoa, this is another
We've seen a lot of squirrels, not so much in the snow, but there have been a lot of squirrels around. They've seemed to be out for a lot longer this year, that's for sure.
There must be some reason for this, because I've never known it being... literally, I am tripping over them.
I'm sure there must be some kind of sound effect, you know, like in comedy shows where they pretend to kick a bunny or something, and it sort of does this whee! Sort of away in the distance. That's you. I've got visions of you walking down a woodland path kicking rabbits and squirrels and foxes out the way and little chipmunks and
Jem can't keep up with them. She's like, oh.
I must admit, if I go out at a particular sort of dusk just before it descends into darkness, there must be something to do with the smells again, because Scamp goes bonkers and he's straight off into the woods. Yeah. And I don't see him for 20 minutes because he's obviously following all the smells and what have you. But
there must be some reason for it. And
there must
any
be.
Scientists out there will no doubt tell us what it is. Maybe the lovely Emma Williams can tell us. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because Emma does science, and all science is the same, isn't it?
Well, yes, biology. Maybe my daughter can tell us.
Jesus. Okay, we'll throw that one out there. Hey, Emma, you've got a mission to explain to Sharon why she's attracting all this wildlife. Anyway, should we go on to the event to consider?
The event, indeed. So this is from one of our lovely Trainer Talk members, Tamsin James. I hope I pronounced her surname correctly, because it is French, don't you know?
It is.
And
Have you seen my name?
Hey?
I said, have you seen my name? It is French, don't you know? Gillette Tessier.
Indeed. So, okay, she's teamed up with another lady, Sarah Lindell, who's a business consultant. And Tamsin, of course, is not only a trainer, but she is an MBTI practitioner. And they're running a half-day event called Understanding Yourself and How to Get Ahead with Your Business. And I think really it combines understanding yourself, knowledge of your personality type, and using that knowledge to get ahead in your business. So sounds like a really useful event. It's on the 27th of February from 10 till 1 at Caversham Golf Club, which I believe is somewhere down near Reading, I think. And it's £65. So if anybody would like to go along to that, if you're in the area, then you will put the link in the notes.
I will do. Yeah, excellent. Great stuff. Okay. Oh, it's always nice when we can promote somebody's event that we know, right?
Yeah, it's good. Absolutely. Yeah.
Good. Okay, so for the cool tool this week, I'm going to pick something called doodle.com, not to be confused with Doodly, which is a video animated video making software. Doodle.com is actually a survey tool, but it's quite or one that I use for quite a specific purpose, which is it has a really excellent function for getting people to pick a particular date and time that they're available for something like a meeting or something like that. So I used it when we organized the South Coast Massive Cuppa and Catch-Up, because we had so many people, and trying to coordinate diaries to find a date and a time, you know, morning or afternoon, that most people were going to be free, was a nightmare. And this is where Doodle is a godsend. So all you can need to do is just put in the various options and then send people the link, and then they put their name in and they just tick the boxes of the ones they're available for. And it's brilliant because it then notifies you every time somebody has filled it in, but it also then tells you in a total at the top how many people have voted for which thing. So of course it doesn't have to be dates and times, and for me it was different days with morning and afternoon as the options. So I was able to put a whole range of stuff in there for about 2.5 weeks worth of dates, which was great because then we could take account of everybody and find the date and time that worked for everybody. So if you are in a situation where you're trying to either coordinate lots of people's diaries, or you've got lots of different options to go to a wide group of people, and you want just a really easy and free, I should add, way of getting people to just follow the link, type their name in, tick the boxes, and that's done. Their vote, so to speak, is registered, then I would definitely recommend doodle.com for the job.
Yeah, brilliant. Love that. Yeah, it's a great little tool. I've used that myself in the past, so great. All right. So before we finish, just another little thing to add very quickly. I've been noticing recently that we've been getting lots of lovely feedback in the Trainers Hook group about the podcast, which is lovely, so thank you very much. That's really important to us because it encourages us, and you know, to carry on with the podcast, and makes us feel that people are listening, and not only that, they're actually enjoying it and we're entertaining you as well as
I do need to be reminded sometimes that actually people are listening to this, so perhaps I should be a bit more careful about what I say. It's not just having a lovely conversation with Sharon.
but it's been really nice to get feedback. So if you're one of those people, and if you're a regular listener or indeed a new listener and you enjoy the podcast, then please go onto iTunes and leave us a lovely 5-star review. Yes. 5-star reviews only.
Yes. I feel we've been very specific about this from the word go. Only 5-star reviews will be accepted.
Yeah, but it would be great to get some of there. And I believe that didn't the lovely Paul Harris leave us a review?
Yes, indeed. We've had a few people do that. So thank you. And I know that there are some people that don't or won't listen through iTunes. So the other alternative, of course, is to just put a social media post out there, whether that's on LinkedIn or Twitter, although obviously Sharon doesn't do Twitter anymore. LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook or wherever you like. And please do feel free to tag both of us if you do that, because we will always well, this sums it up nicely, doesn't it? This brings us round in a nice neat circle. We will always go in, and if we are tagged in it, we will always go into it and say thank you for doing that. We always will.
It's important.
It is.
Important. It's just good manners as much as anything else. I know we can go off on another rant.
Absolutely. Yeah. Trader Talk, the podcast brought to you by etiquette. Brilliant. All right. Well, I need to run away and have my strength training session. But wonderful talking with you as always. Thank you everyone for listening, and we will speak to you again next week. Take care. Bye. Bye.